From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am Jake Skorheim, your host. It's Friday night, which means we can kind of just talk about whatever we want to talk about. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now, but on Friday nights, we like to have a little fun. I have with me Nate the Great Connors. I have James Lynch, who's a fantastic Cairo News Radio reporter. And when the three of us get together,
we are the three amigos. We are the three.
I find myself singing that throughout the week now. It's just—it's in my head.
Which like just gets excited for
Friday. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Gets you pumped up.
It does.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. How did you become Nate the Great?
Oh, that's another story. That's next Friday.
He's great. He's just great. It rhymes.
Like you got to ask.
Yeah. all right. So Chris Sullivan is not with us tonight. James was. I was excited that you were available to hang out. Thank you for doing it.
I'm always here for you, Jake.
I love that. That's why I like James. We got to come up with a nickname for James.
Yeah. Okay. We'll think about that.
We'll come up with that. We're super quick on our feet.
Can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah. All right. First, we got to play this trivia clip. I'm going to play this clip. I'm going to give you the answer to this at the top of the news roundup, which, of course, is the very start of the next hour. You guys can hit me up on the text line if you think you know it early. The Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476. And obviously, James and Nate, don't spoil this for the audience if you guys know the answer to this. I want to preface this, though, for my listeners. And I want to say that I was conflicted about playing this clip because the person you're about to hear is a pretty recognizable voice. They have become a controversial figure later in life. And people like my wife will refuse to watch any movie that this guy was directing or has written or was in. And I don't know how to feel about that because there is a conversation about can you still enjoy the art of somebody that you no longer respect in their personal life? And we've seen that in many different cases. We've seen that with Michael Jackson. People were talking about a couple years ago, people were talking about like Picasso because some stuff was unearthed about his personal life that people didn't like. And, you know, and so they were like, well, should we cancel this guy? And you just kind of got to go, all right, can you still enjoy a great piece of art? Can you still enjoy Thriller? Even though there's all these allegations out there about Michael Jackson, or in this case, I'm not going to say the actor's name because I don't want to spoil the clip, but here's the clip. Nate and James, you guys can just give me a thumbs up if you know what the answer is.
I thought of that old joke, you know, this guy goes to a psychiatrist and says, Doc, my brother's crazy. He thinks he's a chicken. And the doctor says, well, why don't you turn him in? And the guy says, I would, but I need the eggs. Well, I guess that's pretty much now how I feel about relationships. You know, they're totally irrational and crazy and absurd. But I guess we keep going through it because most of us need the eggs.
All right, so I'm going to tell you guys who that actor is. His name is Woody Allen. You guys know it's Woody Allen.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
You didn't know that was Woody Allen?
I had no idea.
Oh, my
gosh. Not a big Woody Allen fan.
Really? Yeah. Neither of you?
Me neither.
All right, well, it didn't cost you anything when people started not liking him as much.
No, not at all. I was right in that boat.
All right, well, here's a larger question. Let's talk about this for just a second. Then we'll get to other actual newsy things. There's actual stuff we have to talk about, believe it or not. Woody Allen, some stuff, people have said things about him. People have said things about Woody Allen now, and they go, all right, well, are we still comfortable supporting Woody Allen's work if you don't like some things that you might find, you know, questionable about his personal life or choices that he's made in life or whatever? Like I said in the preamble to all this, people have said that about Michael Jackson, and you could go down the list, right? Like, never meet your heroes. How do you guys feel about that? Can you still enjoy the things that you maybe loved before you knew about the person who created that thing?
I've got a perfect example.
Give me your example, James.
Everybody loves Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, yes, the voice.
He was a total tool to me when I worked in Memphis. I mean, I found it unbelievable.
You met Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
And he was not kind?
That one black man would treat another black man that way. He was one of the rudest people that I had ever met.
What?
Now, this was on the same night that I met Nelson Mandela, who was just incredible.
You met Morgan Freeman and Nelson Mandela?
I told Morgan Freeman when he was rude to me, I said, dude, I mean, looked him in his eye and said, dude, I've loved your movies my whole life. I mean, I was in such disbelief that he treated me like that. And I swore that I would never watch his movies anymore. But he makes some good movies. So I haven't been able to hold on to that. But yeah. That's a memory that I'll never forget. And I share it with every opportunity that I get. Because, okay, you might think he's a nice guy. Here's how I feel, and here's why.
So, that surprises me. Was he like that with everyone in the room? Or
I don't know. Yeah. I just noticed that he was that way with me.
Wow.
And it surprised and shocked me, because at that time, I had only positive things to say about him.
Well, of course, until this moment, I would have only had positive things.
Hurt my feelings. And again, it's on a night where I meet Nelson Mandela, and he's just as cordial and warm as you could imagine.
Okay, so there's a couple of things here that immediately grab my attention I'd like to discuss. And because it's the night show, we have the real estate to do that. We can just talk about whatever we want. I think it's insane that you met Morgan Freeman and Nelson Mandela on the same night.
And Danny Glover, who was in a cast and was a great guy. Enjoyed talking to him. He was very warm and personable.
I love Danny Glover. Do you guys remember, obviously you remember, what was the movies he made with Joe
Lethal
Pesci?
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. Or not Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci was in those movies too. Obviously, Mel Gibson was the more important character in those movies, his sidekick in that. What was the movie where he played a coach of a little league baseball team, not Little League, of the Angels, right? Angels in the Outfield.
Yep.
You guys remember Angels in the Outfield?
I passed on that.
You were probably too mature.
I had other things going on.
You had other things going on. Yeah, I was 9, so I was very excited about that movie. So you met all those guys. What event was this?
It was at the National Civil Rights Museum, and Nelson Mandela was being awarded there. So, you can imagine the night and the people that
there. What an event.
It was incredible.
I wonder if Morgan was just having a bad night. Not to legitimize what he did, but, I wonder, because, I'm with you. I would never think Morgan to be like that. That surprises me that he treated you like that.
You know, the question that I posed to him, and I said, look, I know before I ask this question, what I want you to know that I understand. And I asked him, I said, why was it important for you to be here tonight?
Mm.
Those are questions that we ask all the time. It gives him a chance to talk about Nelson Mandela. And he looks at me dead in my eye and he says, well, why was it important for you to be here tonight? And I said, well, I'm working.
You understand that I'm holding a microphone. It's my job to ask you questions.
I'm a journalist.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that stuck with me for the longest
time. Were you still mesmerized by his voice, though? Because he has just one of those voices.
Well, until he started talking.
Yeah.
I had been mesmerized by everything he'd ever done. But I just think sometimes you don't need to meet your hero.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. That's
unless
what they
it's
say.
Jake Skorheim.
Unless it's Jake Skorheim.
You get what you get.
And then I'm this kind of guy. Unless you ask me a question, then I'll throw it back at you. All right, so that's the trivia. What do you think about that, Nate? Can you enjoy...
It depends on what
the offense is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Woody Allen, I'm sorry, man. He crossed the big line there.
Okay. I just never got him in the first place.
Me
never
neither. Got him. Yeah.
Me neither.
Never like James' story, like to be honest with you, like I'm still probably going to be able to watch Happy Feet or whatever, Morgan Freeman, I can still watch his movies. Shawshank Redemption, very good movie. I can still enjoy Morgan Freeman in that. I wish he was kinder to you. That's for sure. But I understand why you would take if it happened to me personally, I would hold up. I think I'd hold a grudge.
Yep.
For sure.
That was a lot of years ago. That was like 2000.
I will
ask him about it.
No, I'm going to get in his face.
Ooh.
But don't get in his face.
Yeah.
He's an old man now.
Yeah, you know my buddy James Lynch. Let me remind you.
Yeah, and he needs to know you've been lifting.
That's right. Lifted a coffee cup, which is empty right now.
All right, I want to get to some news here because we can't just keep talking about Morgan Freeman the whole night, as much as we'd like to. All right, so this is, I don't know this news, so if you guys know the answer to this, if you know what's about to come, don't tell me because I'm very excited about this. I want to experience this firsthand. I worked really hard to not look at this type of news so that I wouldn't spoil this so I could experience it with my audience in real time. So did you guys watch The Golden Bachelor? Do you guys watch are you guys part of Bachelor Nation?
I'm sorry, is that a rhetorical question?
That is.
Never watched it, but I'm familiar.
Me either.
You
Never
know what
seen
The Golden
it,
Bachelor
but I'm
is.
Familiar.
Yeah. All right, you know what The Bachelor is, right? Yeah. You know that series about. All right, so The Golden Bachelor, they got this really old guy. Not really old. It's like 70 or something at the time. He's 70. No, it's 72.
That's James' age.
Yeah. No, he's not.
Thanks, Nate.
No, he's not. Not even close. All right, so they had this guy. He's 72, and they set him up with all these older women in the golden years of their life, right?
Right.
And they introduced him to all these women, and it's just the Bachelor experience. And he found someone. Her name was Teresa. Felt like they were a great fit. She's 70. He's 72. They got engaged, and then they got married on national TV. Here's their vows.
I promise to be your calm in a storm, to comfort you when you're sad, to laugh with you when you're happy, and to stick with you throughout it all.
We have a trust that cannot be broken.
You may kiss your bride.
That's amazing. So obviously we're all wishing them well. And then GMA this morning, this was like, I was very excited about this because I'm obviously such a huge fan. GMA teased a very big announcement. They were actually going to have, I think his name is pronounced Jerry or Gary, and Teresa on GMA. They have a special, they've been married 3 months now.
Yeah.
And so they have a very special announcement that they're going to make. Here's
you don't
how
know
GMA
what the announcement
said.
Is?
I don't know what the announcement is yet. I don't know what the announcement is, but GMA sets it up for us.
Millions of Americans watch them fall in love and get married on live TV back in January. And Juju Chang sat down with the couple who have a personal update to share. Good morning, Juju.
Good morning, Rebecca. And they certainly do. I have to say, both Carrie and Teresa say they are really nervous about how fans will react to their news. So many of them cheered them on as they bonded over widowhood and looking for love in their 70s. So after that lavish golden wedding, now they have what can perhaps best be described as a bombshell.
All right, so here's what I think it is. I have the announcement here. I had somebody else pull me this audio.
They're pregnant.
I think they're pregnant.
I think they're pregnant.
I think they're divorced.
What?
Oh, come on.
No. The show is about love.
They just
love.
Got married.
Yeah, they just got married 3 months ago. These people are deeply in love. There's no way they're getting divorced. I'm with you, Nate.
Yeah.
I think...
Preggers.
I think they're pregnant. Listen, she's 70. Mm. He's 72.
Yeah.
They still both look great.
Yeah.
They both look pretty fertile. I don't know how fertile they still are.
She's but like, not pregnant at 70.
She might be.
Hey, it's not impossible, is it?
Hey, biblically, I'll bet both of you a Diet Coke they're getting divorced.
Biblically, it's possible. Like, it has happened before, and I've read about it. So I don't know. I'm really excited. I think this is baby news. And
Coke that is
baby
preggers.
News at 70.
All right, so you think pregnant, think pregnant.
Yeah. James, and I'm right.
James, you think divorce?
Yeah.
That's so cynical.
Dude, the whole premise of the show is ridiculous when you think about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
In what way? Because I will defend Bachelor to my dying day. You explain to me coherently why it's ridiculous, and I will tell you why you're wrong.
Because there is no way that you can deal with the things that you have to deal with in interpersonal relationships when you're doing it in front of the country. None of it is real. It's all staged. It's mocked just for the audience. So, I mean, relationships are hard enough. You try to do it on TV and get married in 3 months, it's just ridiculous. My money's on divorce.
You know, he makes a pretty good point,
yeah.
Actually. I think he makes it. I'm not going to argue
you
that.
You are good, James.
But do I think it's divorce? No. I think this is baby news, so I'm really excited. I'm going to send them a baby jumper. But let's first hear the news and the announcement, the big announcement.
Oh, you got it.
I got it right here.
Geez, okay.
Here it is.
You
are
lunching, Nate.
Yeah, GMA has it, so I'm excited.
It's been a couple months since your wedding, and you have some news to share.
We have received...
Also, you got to remember, 3 months, so I'm sure that they weren't intimate before they were married because they are, you know, they're not sinners.
Right.
And so probably once they got married, they just said, hey, why don't we just see what happens?
Yeah.
And 3 months is enough time that somebody can make
a
baby.
Right, right. That's when you announce it.
That's when you announce it, right? You want to make sure they probably honeymoon.
Mm.
They got pregnant, mm-hmm. and then they waited for the first trimester to be over. And now
and here we
the
are.
Timing is perfect. Here we go.
So much love and support from so many people who watched The Golden Bachelor, and I don't think we can tell you how many people told us that it gave them so much hope. We want none of that to change for anybody.
Teresa and I have had a number of heart-to-heart conversations, and we've looked closely at our situation, our living situation, and so forth, and we've kind of come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage.
What?
Whoa!
Get a divorce.
Yes.
Yes.
They seem so happy about it.
Get a divorce after 3 months?
Boy, that is just such a huge surprise. How could that happen?
I thought it was a baby.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to need a moment.
This is
difficult news for me.
Wow. No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
See that whole...
No!
It's horrible.
That
man.
Whole show, that whole thing was a sham.
The whole show is a sham.
Right up to this point right here.
Whatever happened till death do us part?
Yeah.
And for them especially, like, I don't know, they probably wasn't even that long.
Yeah, right.
At their age. Just stick with it for a couple more years.
Till a couple years do us part.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't even like asking for that big of a commitment.
Right.
Man, have you ever, though, had to spend time around somebody that you just don't like? Or
yes.
experienced spending time with somebody that you're really just now learning everything about? Like, oh my God, while we were on the show, she was this and she was that, but now it's just the two of us and we get this and we get that.
You've heard the phrase, the honeymoon phase is over.
Right.
I mean, it was over before the marriage started.
I mean, I do think you make an interesting point, James. Number one, they're trying to get to know each other in front of America, which means that everything they're doing is staged and you have to be pointing in the right direction. So like you lose some of the magic that can actually happen if you're actually making a real connection, because it's such a dramatic thing that you're doing. You're on TV. It's like these bonds can be so quickly forged because you're in such an extreme situation. And then he's also dating 55 other women at the same time, which in my, the way I grew up, it doesn't always tend to work out, right? You want to try to focus on one person at a time, but I don't know. I still think that the process can work and I believe in love.
Will you be watching Golden Bachelor 2?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, the next one's going to be an old lady.
Oh, they've got it going already?
Here's the thing, though. The next one, they're filming it right now. The next one's going to be an older lady, and it's going to be, and I'm sure she'll be, very pleasant, nice. But when you think about like an old bachelor man who is single, then, I mean, he might be a widower. That's true. So maybe he's like benefited from having a wife, and then she passed away sadly. There's going to be some guys who've never been married, and just like an old guy who's never been married. That's not somebody you want to be around.
Right. I agree.
I don't think so. I mean, if you get to like 65, 70,
you're
75, and you've never been married, you don't have any real relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't know if his apartment smells very good. I don't know if he's eating good. He's not taking care of himself.
Well, he's got that old man smell.
He's got
sure.
old man smell. Yeah, yeah. Everything smells like sausage.
Can you tell me where is the enjoyment that you get out of that show? Because
I can tell you
if I ever come home and my TV's on that channel, whoever's watching it,
no, I can tell you
they've got to pack their stuff.
Is this a legit question? Because I can tell you how to enjoy it with your lady friend.
No, you can tell me how you enjoy it. There's no way that you can tell me how.
Here's what I do. I sit down on the couch. I have a glass of a heavily iced glass of
Pinot Grigio.
No,
ooh, that's good.
Not Pinot Grigio. Of Sauv Blanc. It's a white wine. It's delicious. It's kind of fruity. It's got a grapefruit taste. And I just drink a bottle of Sauv Blanc with my wife.
A bottle?
Well, I'm a grown up. and I enjoy the show. It is a very enjoyable show. And I'll tell you what, as skeptical as you are, because I was skeptical just like you, James. I was once just like you. And then I started watching it. And you start getting involved in these people's lives. And you start investing in these relationships. And then you believe that love can happen. Which is why this is devastating to me. Because I just assumed they'd be together for the next five years.
Right. Yeah, do you watch the Housewives or of wherever?
Oh, yeah.
My wife watches The Housewives of wherever. Yeah.
You watch it too, Nate?
No, my wife has it on a lot.
Yeah,
that's what you tell everybody.
But do I know all of them? Yes. Do I know all their storylines? Yes.
Yeah, all right. All DVR'd.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today.
Whoa.
But thank you guys for hanging out. But for the rest of us, we have a lot more fun to have. In fact, we have a lot more stuff coming up. Matt, tell them what we got.
All right. Coming up on tonight's edition of Cairo Nights, Mike Lefko joins us for another installment of Score Time with Skorheim. To find out all the latest in the sporting world, Heather Bosch from the Cairo News Radio Newsroom explains the concept of funflation. And, of course, the news roundup just after 8 o'clock. It's all headed your way on a fun-filled Friday edition of Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I have a very special guest on with me right now, Mike Lefko from 710 Seattle Sports. And anytime Mike comes on with us.
Score
Score Time with Scoreheim.
Mike, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Jake. That's why I do it. Do it for the music.
Good.
Do it to get fired up.
I'm going to send this music to you so you can listen to it before you go to sleep at night, when you wake up in the morning. We should send this to people. This would be like great pump-up music in the morning.
Good personal theme music.
Just get you going.
You need to get about your day.
Yeah.
Have this bouncing around.
If you want to accomplish something, you play Score Time with Scoreheim. That's what you got to do. All right. So we're talking sports.
Yeah.
Right away, I want to talk first about Seahawks, and I want to talk about quarterbacking for next season.
Okay.
Is it going to be Geno Smith? Does anybody know? Is there going to be somebody new, or are they just going to make this decision way down the road?
No, it'll be Geno Smith, especially for next year. But next year, that's the key sticking point there, because his contract becomes very expensive after the 2024 season.
What would it be after the 2024 season?
So it would be like a $38 million cap hit.
What?
And right now it's, I think, low. I don't know the exact number now. They restructured his deal and they signed him to a new one last year. So this year's cap hit is still pretty effective. It's manageable. It's not anything too expensive. But you jump up because it's the final year of that deal. It's a big cost prohibitive cap hit. So everyone's thinking, okay, you can do some things in the NFL where if you cut a guy, you still have to pay a large portion of it, but not all of it. So there's a lot of talk of, all right, what happens in 2025? But for next year, pretty certain that Geno Smith will be the starter.
Yeah.
So he'll be here. Because otherwise, he'll be the starter. You want some of that stability. So
yeah, like otherwise you're building from completely ground up, like complete zero. Okay, so that makes sense. I really like Geno Smith. So in order for him to stick around, because he would be so expensive in 2026, right?
2025. So this year, he's got a pretty still cheap deal. And then next year, next season, 2025.
Millions and millions.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Cheap from a cap hit perspective. And everything is kind of in the lens of that salary cap hit.
Yeah.
Because there is a limit. You can't go over a certain number in the NFL. You have to have 53 players, and it goes up every year based on league revenue, all this stuff. But you can't have just endless amounts of money. You have to just stick to that limit, which I believe is like $260 million this year for 53 players.
Yeah,
so
that's
why you have full-time guys who are constantly managing and maneuvering how to get this team under a salary cap limit, but you have to deal with this. So eventually, it becomes very expensive to pay a lot of guys.
So if he has, so basically, for him to stick around in Seattle and play longer in Seattle beyond this next year, he would have to have like the season of his life, right?
And even then, it's nothing certain because, and this is going to sound wild to you and me and everyone else out there, he's getting old, like for a quarterback. So he'll be 34 in October, which sounds great. Like, 34 is amazing. Okay, there's a lot going on. What an old man. Yeah. But in NFL terms, you know, you might be a little bit decreasing your effectiveness. So you have to consider that, especially for a quarterback who takes hits, who you might need to scramble in the pocket, you might need to run. So that is a concern, as tough as it is to say his age might play against him. But a lot of people thought, hey, that's why they brought Sam Howell in. He is younger. He's in on a cheaper deal. Maybe he's a guy that they get a look at and think, all right, that's
something
maybe a guy for 2025 or just the stopgap. He's maybe the one-year starter in 2025. Then they draft a quarterback again. So it is it's a revolving door, but I would say, and now, of course, it might not happen, but I would say with 99% confidence, Geno Smith's the starter this year.
All right.
And then it's very uncertain after that.
Yeah. I like Geno, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, he's been a solid quarterback. He's been good for them.
What's the number one story that people are talking about right now in sports?
Just overall in sports?
Just overall, what you guys are talking about over on 710
well,
Seattle Sports.
You know, so O.J. Simpson died recently, so that, you know, you have to bring up what he did off the field. And certainly he was a very good football player, famous for his football ability, and then, you know, a notorious criminal, you would say, but he was never convicted for that. So, of course, that's the controversy that surrounded his entire life and the two people that were associated with him who then were killed. So, talk about O.J. Simpson and then Shohei Ohtani and the betting scandal.
Shohei Ohtani is one I was recently talking about too, but back to the O.J. Simpson thing for just a second, because I do find that really fascinating. This weird thing where, so I was having this conversation the other day about separating the artist from the art.
Yes.
And I was using some like popular movie figures. Like a lot of people are uncomfortable with Woody Allen for things they've heard about Woody Allen or Michael Jackson. He's undeniably a talented musician. I mean, like, he's no longer with us. He's dead. But his music was obviously phenomenally popular. But there was all these allegations and things out there about Michael Jackson that made people very uncomfortable. And so people sometimes, some people, stop being able to enjoy the music. Same thing with O.J. Simpson, right? So like on the field, he was an artist. He was just a super successful guy. Pete Rose, another great example. An amazing, like the best hitter in all time of baseball. After his career, when he was coaching, then he has these, you know, these gambling problems, and now he can't be in the Hall of Fame. So can you separate, like, can you still enjoy what the person did on the field, even if they, you know, did something that you found objectionable off the field? Do you think that's possible with somebody like O.J. Simpson?
Well, some people will tell you that. I think if you were a fan of his personally, like if you're a fan of the Buffalo Bills, then probably. If you are a neutral party.
Or you're like a UFC or USC fan or whatever.
If you are a neutral party, I think the heinous nature of what he's accused of and what most people think he actually did outweighs all of that.
Yeah.
So that forever tarnishes and taints your perception of him. And he didn't exactly stay squeaky clean after that.
He went to prison
and then he tried to break into something. I don't know. He'd had a lot of stuff that.
Yeah, he got arrested. I think it was in Vegas, right?
A raid and they tried to. Armed robbery and memorabilia.
And
yeah.
I think him and his guys were accused of holding somebody hostage.
So not a good person.
Yeah.
And multiple times proven not a good person. So I think for the majority of people, that outweighs anything that he did on the field.
Yes. Yeah. Crazy. All right. And really quickly in the time we have left, we have a minute and a half left. Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this last time we spoke?
I don't think so. And I think, well, now recently, some more news has come out that the federal investigation has uncovered the depths of what his translator actually did.
So when this story first came out and when his translator, Ipe?
Yeah.
When he was accused of, you know, basically they said, all right, this guy stole $4.5 million from Shohei and used it to pay off gambling debts. I think there was a lot of people, myself included, who was asking like, all right, well, was this guy just kind of a front for Shohei?
Right.
And was this like a Pete Rose situation, but he had an interpreter, so he kind of got the benefit of the doubt. But now this new information has come out where it was like $16 million.
And 19,000 bets. So there's a ton of proof that like this guy had a gambling problem. So this pretty much exonerates Ohtani. I know a lot of people thought,
time for 19,
yeah, this is over the course of 2 years. He's betting like 25 times a day.
Wow.
It's like, okay, yeah, he stole money to cover up his gambling addiction. So it's pretty cut and dry right now. The depths of his depravity is, you know, being fully shown. And I think that makes it good for Ohtani and for people that did think, hey, maybe this is a conspiracy. Because I believe that as well. You kind of like, hey, maybe he is. It seems kind of convenient, but now it's just there are so many things coming out to show that, hey, this guy.
They have voice recordings right, of him saying that he's Ohtani and talking to banks, trying to convince them to let him do transfers or get money.
So basically the federal investigation cleared up any kind of confusion or any ambiguity around what MLB came out and said.
Okay.
So it's pretty cut and dry right now.
Yeah, it feels pretty cut and dry. Well, I'll tell you what, the MLB is relieved.
Yeah.
They're feeling good.
He's their shining star, Ohtani.
He's their shining star. Yeah, and I'm kind of relieved, too. I like him. All right, well, that's our time. Thank you so much. This has been Score Time with Scoreheim with Mike Lefko.
Thanks, Jake.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Always a pleasure.
All right, we got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Scoreheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Real quick, before we get into this topic, which I find really interesting, do me a favor. Download the podcast if you haven't already. Tell your friends about it. Tell everyone about it. It's a great podcast. It's called Cairo Nights with Jake Scoreheim. That's me. You guys can hang out with us every single night, even if you can't listen to the show live. And I don't expect that you can listen to every single minute of every single show that we do. But what I do ask is that if you are interested in the show and you want to listen to us, we put a lot of stuff into it. It's a lot of fun. Just because you can't listen to the first hour doesn't mean you can't check out the second hour. And, you know, you can listen on the podcast. And it's free. A lot of people are liking it. We're getting a lot of downloads. So I just want to make sure that you don't get left out. And, you know, while the price is still right. Order now. Free only for right now. No, just kidding. We're going to keep it free. We're not going to charge you for it. But yeah, download it. Cairo Nights with Jake Scoreheim. You get it on Apple. You can get it on Spotify. Wherever you get your podcast. And we believe in it so much, we're selling it for free. All right. Really fast. This topic is really interesting to me because I'm a parent. I have three kids in two kids in full-time school, one kid in preschool, and I have a fourth son on the way who will be in school someday. In Louisiana right now, they are voting on a school choice bill. And if you guys don't know what school choice is, it essentially says, all right, a state can decide to let the money that is generally spent on a student through the tax system, like, you know, because they spend state money on each kid and each kid is allocated a certain amount of money. And that money goes with that kid to the public school system that they're put into. Like we do this here in Washington State. You can say, all right, such and such a kid, little Johnny is going to get such and such an amount. Every kid's the same. It's not like different. They're going to get this much money, and that money's going to then go to their local public school that they attend. But sometimes the local public school that you go to isn't a good school, and you're not getting a very good education. And maybe the kids in Mercer Island are getting a much better education than the kids in Marysville, or maybe the kids in, you know, wherever. You get how it works. So what school choice would allow is it would say, all right, we're giving the power to the parents to evaluate whether or not they think the schools are doing right by their kids. And if they don't think they're doing right by their kids, regardless of where they are financially, they're not going to be locked into that school. Because, like, rich kids have options. That's just the way it is. Somebody who's got money, it's not always rich kids, to be honest. Like, my parents chose to send us for a time when I was growing up to private school. And my parents did not have a lot of money. It was like a really big sacrifice. But they said, hey, we want a very specific type of education for our kids. And we want to make sure that they have the best education and one that we feel like they deserve. And so they put us in private school, which I went from kindergarten through eighth grade. And then when I got into high school, I went to public school, which is my first time in public school. That was fun. And it was great. And I had great experience in public school. And I loved my public school. But all that to say, it's not only rich people who send their kids to, you know, private schools. But you are severely limited by the amount of money that you can come up with if you do want to send your kid to a different school. If you don't want to send them just to the public school down the street that you live in the neighborhood of, so that's the one you have to attend. Because if that school sucks, that's a bummer for parents. Anyway, long story short, in Louisiana, they're debating this bill right now, and a bipartisan school choice bill is moving forward. It's doing really well in Louisiana. The bill just passed the House, 72-32, 65 Republicans, 7 Democrats backed the bill, so it's bipartisan. And one of the, like, keynote speeches was given by a Democratic representative in New Orleans. His name is Jason Hughes. Listen to this speech about why he is supporting school choice. I thought this was really great.
As I watch children in poverty, trapped in failing schools, who can hardly read, I'd be damned if I will continue to defend the status quo. Too many of our children are dropping out. And then we wonder why we had to have a crime session. Because our students can hardly read. I know the political ramifications for me of voting for this bill, but I don't need this $16,800 a year job bad enough to watch our children to continue to live in poverty and trapped in failing schools and not try to do something. In any event, I'm not reelected. This is what I know. My steps are ordered. This is what I know. My heart is pure. This is what I know. I came here to do tough things. I came here to make tough decisions. And I came here to put children first. And for each and every one of you who know me, you know my heart, and you know my heart for children. So, Mr. Speaker, today, my vote will be in favor of this bill. And it's a vote for our children, because for them, it's a fight worth fighting. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Then he gets a big applause. And I thought it was a great speech. It's very interesting. I don't know where you come down on the school choice debate. You can hit me up on the text line, 888-973-5476. It's one of those issues that when I was young and I didn't have kids, I didn't even think about, I didn't even care about. But now that I'm older, now that I have 4 boys and I'm looking at their education, I'm very satisfied with my kids' education right now. They go to public school right now, and I love it. I think it's great. But someday, if they need to go to a different school because I feel like the school's letting them down, they're not getting the education that they need, I think something like school choice sounds pretty good. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.